This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We began a new practice last week in worship. So if you're visiting with us for the first time or were not with us last week, I will begin our time together with that proclamation from the Psalms. This is the day that the Lord has made, and invite you to respond. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So good job. It is a day to rejoice, and joy is at the center of our worship this morning. We will light the third and pink candle of joy in our Advent wreath. We'll hear from the prophet Zephaniah, who calls us to rejoice in the Lord. And so I look forward to this time of worship with you. It's a joy to welcome any of you who are visiting with us, especially if you're here for the first time. We hope that you feel welcome, that you feel the love of Christ in this place. And we would invite you, alongside all of the rest of us, to register our attendance in worship this morning. There are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and sign in. And if you're worshiping online, there is a link you can place in your browser to let us know that you're here. There's also a QR code in the bulletin that will take you to the registration link and other links that help you participate in worship this morning. Just a heads up for those of you who are members of the congregation, we're still in our season of estimates of giving and making our pledges for 2025. And in the pew rack, there are cards that the top is red. There are lots of cards in the pew rack, but the very top one is your estimate of giving. And if you have yet to make that estimate and have been praying about it, invite you to do that and place it in the offering plate this morning. If you have any questions at all, just let me know and we can talk about that and pray about that together. Tonight is a holy night here at West End United Methodist Church. We have our service of candle lighting, which begins at 5:30. It's a service of lessons and carols with many of our choirs and handbell choirs, and it is a holy way to ponder what this season is all about. So we invite you to come. Parking is challenging. We can no longer park in the Caterpillar parking lot, so I encourage you to ride share, to carpool as much as you can, and we will have that time together. On Wednesday, we'll have our service of the longest night. It begins at 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. We'll also be live streamed. This is a service that is especially meaningful for those of us who may be walking through a difficult season of grief, loss, finding this holiday season a little challenging. We provide space in here for prayer, for anointing, and for time to worship together. Our Christmas Eve services, our times are a little different than they have been in years past. We'll have a child-led service at 3 o'clock, a service of worship with candles and communion and preaching at 5 o'clock, and then a service at 10 o'clock that will include the choirs as well. So it's a wonderful opportunity to invite friends and neighbors to worship with you on Christmas Eve. And finally, on December 29th, we will just have one service of worship at 10. Again, my friends, this is a Sunday when we ponder joy and the gift of joy that comes to us no matter what our circumstances. So let us open our hearts and minds to the joy of the Lord as we worship together this day.
We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of joy for the coming of Christ into our world. Now, hear these words from the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say
rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of joy, we give thanks today for that infectious spirit that you pour into each of us. In this season, as we anticipate that you are not only coming, but that you are near, our hearts leap. Yet we realize that at times your joy doesn't flow out of us toward those who hunger for it. We receive, yet fail to give. Forgive us for the ways we stifle your spirit by keeping it to ourselves. May our hearts be so filled with you that we can't help but proclaim your joy to the world through acts of kindness, mercy, and self-giving love. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 767 in your pew Bible. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
It's a special time for the children in our worship service. So if you are one of our children and want to come forward and join us up here, that would be great. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. And we will have a few minutes together. I'm starting to see a little more red and green, those Christmas colors. Very exciting. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome. So happy to see you this morning. Thanks for coming out on a gray and sort of sprinkly Sunday. Good morning. So this is the season that we call Advent. And you may have noticed that every week in church we light a different candle. So now we're up to 3 candles. So we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. And this third candle that we lit for the first time today, what color is that?
Pink.
Pink, right? How many of you like the color pink? I love the color pink. And this is the candle of joy. So pink is a color that reminds us of joy. And I know a song about joy. And I think some of you may know it too. Do you know this one? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know it? You know it, I can tell. So after I sing that, then what do you say? Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Okay, you want to try it? If you want to sing with me, please do. Or if you want to be the one to say where, you say that too, okay? Everybody, let's do it together. Get the grown-ups in on it too, okay? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Good job, everybody. That was beautiful. That song tells us that we have joy way, way down in our hearts, way inside of us. Sometimes we talk about Jesus being in our hearts, that God is in us and God is always with us, and that gives us joy. Sometimes there's stuff going on around us that's hard, that maybe make us sad or make us worry. Not everything's always going right in our lives, but no matter what's happening around us, the joy of God is way deep inside of us to stay. It will never leave us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of joy. Your joy that lives in our hearts all the time. In those moments when we feel afraid or sad or angry, we know you understand all of those feelings. Help us remember that you are with us. And as we remember that, help us to remember your joy. Thank you for coming into the world as the baby Jesus to be with us. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for singing and for listening. And if you are 3, 4, or 5 or in kindergarten, you can go to children's. You're in kindergarten?
I'm about to be 6.
Oh, you're about to be 6. Make sure and tell me when it's your birthday. Are you 3, 4, or 5?
3.
3. Awesome. Well, you can go to children's church. February, almost there. If you're not feeling a little bit of joy after seeing all of those wonderful children and singing about joy with them, I don't know what to tell you. One of the things that brings me joy this time of year is receiving Christmas cards. I have some friends from college and high school and even before then who live all over the country, all over the world. I don't see them very often, but we still exchange Christmas cards. And I love the ones especially that have pictures of them and have pictures of their dogs or their family or whatever, so I can see how their lives are moving forward. Choosing the message for a Christmas card is important. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Will led us on Wednesday night about in a conversation about messages of hope, and he was talking about the top five things that are on Christmas cards these days. And I'm sorry I didn't take notes, I don't remember all five of them. But there are things like Merry Christmas, that's simple, Happy Holidays, Season's Greetings, Merry and Bright, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. And is that the number one? Which was the number one one? Oh, the number one this year is keep calm and ho, ho, ho. So ho, 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 that's another message that we see on our cards. So I think about these words that we see a lot in this season. Be merry, be bright, happy, jolly, ho, ho, ho. And those are words that seem to fit the Christmas season. We all know what the Christmas season is, the presents and the shopping and the candy canes and the lights and the cookies and the parties and all that. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not throwing shade on any of that. But here in this time of worship together, in this moment, we are in a very different kind of season. As followers of Jesus this time of year, we're navigating two different seasons. There's the Christmas season, the happy, holly, jolly, ho, ho, ho. And then there's the season of Advent. And Advent has a very different tone from the Christmas season. In Advent, we are living in our longing. It is a season of waiting. Not only are we preparing to hear the story of the birth of Jesus again, but we are preparing for the final return of the Christ into the world. We hear the voices of the prophets who look for that day that is coming when God shall redeem all things, that day that the prophets tell us about, when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, where nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We look for that day when the wolf shall lie down with the lamb and the little child shall lead them and they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. We long for that day and we work for that day and we hope for that day. And so in Advent, we are not afraid to name the difference between what is and what shall be. We can look around at our world and see and name those things and those ways in which we fall short, in which we are not yet who we are called to be. And so somehow happy and jolly and merry don't, M-E-R-R-Y, don't seem to fit so well in Advent. But there is a word that fits perfectly in this season. And that word is joy. Joy is different from happiness. It's different from merry. It's certainly different from ho, ho, ho. The way we often talk about happiness and joy, happiness often depends on the circumstances around us. I'm happy when I walk out on Christmas morning and there's a Lexus with a bright red bow on it. I'm happy when my family gets together and the food is good and nothing burned and everybody's getting along and nobody talks about politics and nobody tells that story about what I did when I was 11 that's so embarrassing. I'm happy because the circumstances aligned to make me so. But joy is a different thing. Joy does not depend on our circumstances. No matter what is happening around us, we can have joy. Joy is a biblical word, and we're reminded in the scriptures that it depends on God. It is a gift of God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. No matter what is going on around us, God can bring joy to us. We can have joy in the Lord. Our Advent candle reading was from the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always," as he sat in a prison cell. Jesus gathered his disciples around him for the Last Supper, and he said, "I have come that you might have joy and that your joy might be complete." And hours later, he was arrested and condemned to death. And he knew that when he invited them to joy. And then this morning, we hear the prophet Zephaniah inviting the people of Israel to rejoice and shout in a very difficult moment. And so this is the text that we get to dig into a little more deeply together this morning. Before we do that, though, I want to invite you to take the bulletin home or to take a picture of this text or write it down and just read this text at home. Read it every day in this season if you want to. Regardless of whether you agree or like my interpretation of it, it is a gift for all of us. I want you to hear the voice of the prophet and the voice of the Lord speaking these words to you, because I've heard it this week many times. I listened to it on my audio Bible. We read it aloud in Bible study. We read it staff parish on Monday night. We read it in staff meeting on Tuesday. And every time I have heard it this week, tears have welled up in my eyes, because I'm hungry for a word like this, and I imagine you are too. So let me tell you a little bit about Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah. It's only 3 chapters long. If you were here last week, you may remember that the prophet Malachi begins his book by offering the word of the Lord, "I love you. I have loved you. I have always loved you." And that sets the tone for all of the hard things that Malachi says in that book. Zephaniah does not begin in that place. The prophet steps out to offer the word of the Lord, and the first thing that comes out is, "I'm going to destroy the whole earth." Wow. This book begins with anger and wrath and judgment, beginning in a place where God is so frustrated with God's people for their unfaithfulness. They've been turning to their political leaders instead of to God. They've been turning it to themselves. They've been forsaking the poor and the outcast and the immigrant and the orphan and the widow. All of those things that the prophets name again and again. And so it just begins with this scorching word. But it doesn't end there. Things begin to turn in chapter 3. It's not that the people have changed. It's not that they have done anything yet to repent or to turn back to God. But God shifts God's tone. The very beginning of the text that we just heard: "Rejoice, O daughter Zion, for God has removed all judgment from you." The charges have been dropped. You are forgiven. Not because you've done anything to deserve that, but because God chooses to show mercy. And that is the first little lily pad I want to land on in this text, that is the source of our joy, that God does not look on us with judgment and condemnation. And so whatever burden you're carrying, whatever shame or guilt you may be holding on to, this is the time to set it down, says the Lord. I've dropped all the charges. It's a new day. You are forgiven. As Christians, we see this promise fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want to say, if you ever said these words, "Well, there's no grace in the Old Testament," chapter 3 of Zephaniah, it's right here. God condemns us no longer. Then the prophet moves on in this word of the Lord, the next lily pad I want to stand on. "The Lord," says the prophet, "is in your midst." God is with you. Always. in the midst of your life and your struggles, in the midst of our world and all of its brokenness, God is at work and in the midst, never forsaking us, never turning away, but always with us. How many times do we proclaim this? God is with us. We are not alone. That is a source of joy that no matter what we are walking through, what our circumstances, we can know we're not alone. We are accompanied by a loving, merciful, compassionate God. And then we jump to the next lily pad, which is the most astounding image offered to us by this prophet. The Lord will sing and dance and delight over you. Do you know that the God is singing and dancing in delight over you and over me? I have this memory of in 2013, I got to travel to Uganda with Raise the Roof. They're out in our ministry market this morning. A friend of mine, David Sebelime, had started that school there in the little town of Bwasandeko. And this was pretty early on in the days of the school, and I got to go with a group of people who were sponsoring students. And as we arrived in the village, someone had told them we were coming. And the students and the parents and the faculty were dressed in these beautiful, colorful clothes, and there were drums and music and singing and wailing, and they were welcoming us and dancing. Dancing and singing for us out of joy that we were there. That's God in this text. God is singing and delighting over you. And that's one reason I want you to take this text home. In those moments when you're feeling not good enough, when you're feeling broken and unworthy and recognizing all your faults, remember that God rejoices over you. And the final turn of the text that I want to lift up comes in the latter part. Up to this point, Zephaniah has been saying, God rejoices over you. He will sing and dance over you. But suddenly the pronouns change. And it is the voice of God saying, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors. I will gather you. I will heal you. I will restore your fortunes. Just how many times do we hear this pronoun? It is God who will do all of these things. It is the power of God that builds the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It is the love of God that flows through us out into the world through our hands and feet, our words and our actions. It's not just up to us to fix this broken old world, because we can't. But through the power of God who is with us and for us and in us, we can be part of that work that God is doing to save the world. And that takes us back up to this one instruction we get in this text. Because God is who God is, because we are totally forgiven, totally delighted over by God, because the spirit and power and joy of God can flow through us out into the world, therefore, says the prophet, do not fear and do not let your hands grow weak. My friends, we have so much work to do to help God transform this world to reflect the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So much to do. But let us not be afraid. And let us not let our hands grow weak. But let us open ourselves to this God who is dancing over us and all creation. Let us embrace the joy no matter what's going on around us. May the joy remain down in our hearts. Where? Down in our hearts. To stay and never be shaken.
Together, we profess our faith through the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to be seated. And to remind us that as a faith community, we are a people who pray with one another in times of joy and also in times of great difficulty. And it is truly our joy and our privilege to partner with one another through the practice of prayer. We want to know how we can pray with and for you, so you can fill out the prayer card and leave it in the offering plate during the offertory, or you can follow the appropriate link online so that we can pray with you in that way. We are celebrating this week a birth within our congregation. We're celebrating the birth of Walker Catherine Harris, who was born on December 3rd to Merrill McVicker Harris and Andrew Harris. And she is welcomed by her grandparents, Dan and Susan McVicker, as well as by her aunt, Morgan McVicker. We also are mourning with the family of Dick Banner Hart, who passed away on December 7th. Dick was survived by his wife, Jean Hart, and his daughter and son-in-law, Fabre and Sam Belk. A memorial service is planned for Dick on Thursday, December 19th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary, with visitation in Reed Hall at 1 p.m. before the service. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in the advent of your Son and humility, you have embraced every imaginable circumstance in our lives and in our world, and you've opened them to receiving the fullness of your resurrecting life and irrefutable joy. As we await Christ's return in glory, may we discover anew that the joy of you, O our Lord, that your joy is our strength. By the grace and the presence of your advocate, may the words of the prophet and the angels, might they become our lived reality. May we not be a people who fear in any circumstance. Might those words, "do not fear," be harbored in our hearts as we live the pain of personal betrayal and heartbreak, as we endure the stress of work or daily decisions of life and the care of beloved ones. May we hold those words in our hearts as we take the first steps on a new journey of call, of recovery, or of forgiveness. In every step, O Lord, may your joy be more substantial than our fear. Help us to hold on to your joy as we hold the hands of the brokenhearted, of the sick, of the suffering, of the neighbor whose back is against the wall. When we fall into corrosive cynicism or honest despair, grant us the strength to raise up our heads and lift up our hearts to your restoring presence. When we are lonely and isolated, join us with the people in our community who believe and trust and stake their lives on the miraculous power of love. In every embrace of friendship, mercy, and justice, may your joy be more powerful than any fear. Across these holy days of Advent, form us into children who live with contagious joy. A people of peace in a violent world, a community that longs and hopes and prays as together we join our voices in praying as Jesus teaches us, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The joy that God has gifted to us is a joy that cannot be contained, and it's a joy that overflows from our lives to the giving of our gifts. You can follow the appropriate links to give online, or you can give by following the QR code in your bulletin, or by simply leaving your gift in the offering plate. This is also a season, as Pastor Carol mentioned at the start of our worship, when we are dreaming with God toward next year. And so this is the moment in our worship where you can leave your estimate of giving for 2025. Might we respond to the joy of God by sharing the gifts of our lives with God and with others.
Beloved, we have a song of joy to sing to the world. No matter where we are in the circumstances of our lives or of our world, God is with us, and God's love will never forsake us. May that good news give you joy, and may you sing that joy today and every day for the sake of the world.